see. I want to, first of all, as I start the process, share that through the support and encouragement and tools of this program and a lot of other support, I've been able to keep off 250 pounds for 34 years.
Wow.
Now, and here's a picture of me I'll pass around that's a mere 260 pounds. So I was over, I only remember weighing 320, but my dad said it was about 400 pounds in the eighth grade. And I didn't, I started my journey, I'll just do a teeny bit because this is what led me, I have actually a PhD in binging. I have binged so many times, places, and ways. And I was the fattest kid in school, fat way before my time, in 1965, 70. Finally, in 1972, I decided to lose weight because my whole body was falling apart, and I was 21 years of age. So I was always fat through teenage years and into early adulthood. And then finally, I decided to do something about it. So I'm so glad that I found a healthy foundation food plan in another place, a commercial weight loss program, and that was helpful. So that gave me ideas for breakfast, lunches, dinners, and snacks. But then, holy petunias, then that's when I found that I really had an unhealthy relationship with food. I had no idea that I was so emotionally shut down, that I hated myself so much, that I was disconnected from life. You know, all the effects of weighing that much as I did and having a family experience that I had, loving as my parents were, they loved us dearly, but their ability to carry out a healthy emotional connection in the household and nurture healthy adults wasn't too great. And I didn't realize all of this until I finished losing the weight and then was trying to keep it off. And I found that I would binge on all kinds of sweets and many different kinds of foods. And because of my parents' distress in their relationship, they were breaking up all through that time. And adversarial in the way they connected, I would turn frequently to food. And I was really baffled about why in the world I could have lost all the weight, found a healthy eating plan, but found myself so completely out of control so many times. So I would binge 4, 5, 6 times a week, you know, and I'll get it together and then start binging on Friday and all through the weekend and promise myself on Monday I'll stop and get right back on track. And well, that was the pits. And so a friend told me about this blessed 12-step program. And so I started to come. And through applying the tools of recovery, you know, one of them is an eating plan. And so that was, I already had a really good foundation food plan for me that fit really well and helped my body reduce excess stored energy and not had me obsessing around food. So that was good. But using the tools of this program and the steps of this program dramatically helped me make big shifts in my life, especially to the connection with a sponsor. You know, somebody who really knew what was going on and been through the experience themselves and shared experience, strength, and hope with me. That was really critical and a regular tool. A lot of times, the tool of the telephone, you know, when I had Wholesome Hostess product pointed at my head and was about to pull the trigger, I could reach out and call somebody, you know, all those kind of, you know, and I was so grateful because that really, really helped on numbers of times. It helped me discuss what my plans were, discuss also if I had fallen off track and what in the world had happened. Meetings for me, just like this, were a keystone of experience, strength, and hope, and really showed me different ways of doing it. I loved retreats because that really, really gave me some grounding and an in-depth sorting through what was how to really apply all of this and make it practical and effective. And so those retreats, and I went to many, many, many retreats couple of times a year for a long period of time. That was really good, as well as going to the meetings. The tool that I'm almost probably more grateful for as all of this than anything in this program is the tool of writing. Because before, I had not a clue about why I did what I did. It was just kind of a mystery. And I figured I could get straight A's in school, yet I couldn't stop overeating, and that was really a bummer and really frustrating. Like, what in the world's going on here? And, you know, because I couldn't figure it out. So that tool is one, and I'll share with you in a while, is one of the key tools that really helped me begin to do that, along with certainly the literature. I've been so appreciative that people wrote down experience, strength, and hope, and had things and suggestions like a pamphlet, a plan of eating. You know, abstinence is really an amends to my own body, giving it loving care. My body has resisted my best attempts to kill it off in every way possible. And with multiple addictions, as I'll share with you, not just with alcohol, but food, drugs, sex, just anything that could get off track, I did numerous times. And so it was really, really helpful for me as the tool of writing and being able to check in with somebody who, and I love what you shared, you know, about the unconditional love, regard, and support from others when I'm feeling really crappy, when I need someone to say, I love you and you're okay, and, you know, how can we support you? And I'm so grateful that was there. So, you know, before my binging, when I came into this program, was, you know, 4 or 5 or more days a week. And very gradually it diminished down by using the tools of this program, you know, to 1 day a week or less, or it got really quite good. But then fertilizing growth opportunities dropped in to visit my life. Holy petunias. You know, these are the things. I wanted to go back to school and help people achieve what I had achieved. And so I graduated and went into the field of dietetics. And in 1978 and 1979, I went to school and graduated and was working as a hospital kitchen supervisor, Murgatroyds, which was around all kinds of foods. So, you know, morning supervisor, evening supervisor, production supervisor, storeroom clerk, computer programming. I felt like I was married to the place. At that point, my mother, through her addictions, a really lovely lady, to lose weight, she got addicted to lose weight for herself. She started taking speed, and that worked very well for her. The only problem was she got addicted to speed and lots of other drugs and alcohol. And so those patterns essentially destroyed her life, and I watched it happen in front of me. Well, by 50 years of age, or 1978, 9, and 80, she was dead by 1980, died of alcoholism and chemical dependency. But in 1979, right after I graduated in school and was working all the stresses that were going on, I found myself really out of balance again. And so I'm going to share a little bit of this with you, because what I really learned, this is my 1979 food diary, which I'll pass around. This was 7 years after I had been in the program. So, but what was up for me? Well, working way too long for way too hard for way too long. And I had depleted my Sanity Reserve bank account. You know, and the stresses were really high, plus my mommy, my closest friend and companion, was really having horrible times. So what this was for me, though, the food diary was like a treasure map, you know, really clues to a mystery of why was I self-destructing? What was going on in my life, and how did I get so out of balance? What were the key pieces of it? And it certainly ended denial. You know, I started to have a lot of healthy food choices, but then I'd write down huge amounts of sugar products while still frozen, you know. You know, and all kinds of other healthy food choices and the more sugar products. And then you'd have lots of healthy food choices and lots of sugar products. You know, and then there were the parties. I don't know if you ever find yourself getting off track at parties and all kinds of party events. There were five this's and that's and several this's and lots of more of that, and there were 18 of those, and you know, then it goes on to a half of this and there that, along with the might as well top it off with a little bit of this or that. I wrote them all down, by the way. The good, the bad, the ugly were all right here, a lot of healthy food choices. Well, then I wrote down, you know, because this is my diaries or journal, I keep not just my food, but I also keep thoughts and prayers, my reaction to life, my emotional experiences, what's bumming me out, you know, and evaluation of it all, too. I wrote down on this day, my mother is mentally ill. I'll have to have her committed for assistance this evening. I'm troubled at heart. My mother and I have been through so much together. know, I had to call the courthouse and find out how you do this because I wasn't sure. And when I called them, the phone line was busy. So I went up to the store and got 7 ounces of sugar products and mother frozen sugar products and then sat down and ate them all. And then I wrote a note. Well, after I ate them, I wondered why I didn't. It didn't help my mother or me, you know, but I realized after that was getting triggered then to more compulsive eating. And again, being in the hospital kitchen, you know, I was supposed to have all the free food I could have for free. Also, they had a bakery. This is not a pretty picture for a compulsive overeater. Murgatroyds. You know, and then I started to notice many, many opportunities with sugar products coming into line. And I would go on day-long food trances. I don't know if you've ever been there where you just sort of start out the first of the day and kind of eat your way through the day. And then you feel really crappy. And the next day you figure, oh, I felt so crappy on that day. Maybe I'll start again. And I was saying, I wasn't feeling well from overeating the night before. So to comfort myself, I overate to help out. Ha ha. What a deception. Overeating didn't help. You know, and I started to begin to notice through all these events, this is the evaluation piece. Even eating habits are sort of sneaky. They can change gradually into poor ones. Suddenly, one can become too lazy to prepare vegetables and fruits, have the wrong foods in the house, and start lying to yourself, oh, I can handle just one. And you start meditating in the glory of food. Soon, you forget what it was like to be fat, and all at once, I arrived at 175 pounds from 160 pounds. It sort of snuck up on me. During the last 2 weeks, I solved very many tense, stressful problems with turning to food. It was comfort to feel stuffed, and it gave me a satisfied feeling. And then again, examples of friends, and I wrote down with friends disagreements and things. I don't know about you, so I started to really notice the connections between being stressed out and having people who are whacked out in my world, you know, and then Bob gets whacked out in response to all that. Then what happens? 5 or 6 pieces of this or that from Trayline. You know, and I realized the connection between out of balance emotions and what choices I make in the environments I found myself. I also started to notice, as I wrote down, bad thoughts produce bad living. Definitely. I started to notice, you know, if I think depressive, cynical, miserable thoughts, I end up feeling pretty crappy. And I tried it. It works. Yeah. Wow. So at the end of the year, I wrote down an evaluation, and I wrote down what does overeating do for me? I'll write down that and then tell you what OA does for me. When I eat compulsively, my thinking goes all wrong. I don't love myself. I'm upset, disappointed, and frustrated. I become quiet and self-condemning. I just want to be alone, crawl into a hole, and die. I just continue to eat, although I'm not at all hungry. And that's what overeating does for me. It's pretty crappy. You can see it really is doesn't seem to bring on the health and happiness that I'm wanting, right? Well, what I realized is what OA does and the 12-step does for me is when I take the food away, I find me. So I was getting lost in all this. And this was, I just want to share this because this was 7 years after I have been in the program. So you can certainly look at what this ended, helped me do. It ended denial. Oh, it's not that bad. It also fostered rigorous honesty. I'm so appreciative that during this time, you know, and this wasn't kept to show anybody else. This was just kept as my diary at that time. But I'm so appreciative that I practiced rigorous honesty along with compassion. So I didn't beat myself up. I said, Bobby, sweetheart, you're really, 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 really suffering. And I can see you're turning to something to make it better. And what it's doing, it's killing you off. And so I'm not sure what to do, but I know food isn't the solution, even though I'm not quite sure what is the solution right at that moment. But I want to throw that out as a consideration that for a lot of us, we'll abandon record keeping or writing when we're having a crappy time. And that's the fertile opportunity to really learn about yourself. And I'm so grateful I did that because I also needed to use this tool as I'll pass around I did the same tool using with my alcohol use and drug use. It really, really, really was helpful for me to see exactly what my triggers were and what happened. But I could see patterns of foods, people, events, and emotions. And then the cool part come up with an alternative plan. Once I saw, sweetheart, do you see, time and time again. Do you ever feel that way? Sometimes I, holy petunias, I can't imagine me going through this one more time. See Bob go. See him go again. Whoosh, to the same old trashy place that never worked 5,000 times before, and he hopes that this one time it's going to work. No, didn't work again. So the thing that was most helpful for me was never to give up. I have most definitely felt like a grave emotional and mental disorder walking around. That's my definition. How do you feel? Like a grave emotional and mental disorder. Thank you. Hi, my name is Bob. I feel completely screwed up. If you like me, you're really fucked. Pardon my French. And I knew this. So, you know, this gets to be the real pits after a while, right? You walk around and you feel like a walking zit, and you figure out, hell, I'm just never going to be able to get this together. So that was the pits. So the thing that, you know, in this process, I wanted to share with you some experience, strength, and hope, and then something I learned, and then something that was a retreat that was really, really, really helpful, because it was a real valuable piece to put all this together. So is that making sense? You can see that pieces of it. I think, you know, in my experience, since I've made such extensive research, it doesn't work. What doesn't work at all, and it's completely ineffective. And I've tried it thousands of times just to make utterly and completely sure that it really, really, really doesn't work, just for sure. And then, just to check it out, in case it would, I tried at least three more times. And when I was writhing in pain and about to just collapse of almost everything, then I finally shifted. So shift does happen. But you wonder sometimes after this. So I wanted to mention, you know, the theme maybe for tonight is fall down seven times, but stand up eight. And so relapse is a natural part of the learning process. And though nobody likes it, it's a part of really coming to know yourself and what your triggers are and how to manage them better. I'm so grateful I didn't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. So I wanted to share, now, and I'll share a series of program tools that were really helpful and just a few ideas. And you can let me know when I need to. Oh, my heavens. Holy mackerel. Okay, well, ask yourself what you can learn from this experience. So celebrate failures. There are teachers and truths to learn from them. So I think that was essential. Also watch for me. My brain and my heart dream up commitments my body can't keep. Time and time and time and time and time again, that my heart wants to do so much for so many, and my brain is unlimited, but my body and emotions are very limited. And that and if I'm not just going to dial in addiction, that means I have a lot more limitations than I would wish to have, and it's humbling to experience that. I'll be real honest. The road to excess, though, leads to the palace of wisdom. So I'm so glad that all the excesses that I did, I didn't kill myself off. I actually was able to learn something in that. One thing I really learned is food will not solve any problem except hunger. So it's always okay to eat food if I'm hungry. Hunger is a natural thing. Also, I learned don't have my particular binge foods in the house. Even if I'm about to tear the wallpaper off and eat my fingernails, if I don't have it in the house, I can't eat it. Mm-hmm. It's out of sight, out of mind, and I have to pull off a tip to the grocery store, and boy, most often I'm undressed and I ain't going to do it. So thank heavens, that's important. And I'll be honest about it. If those foods are in the house because family members need them, don't lie to myself and say, oh, Bobby, sweetheart, you can have just one. You're just a saint and you'll just figure it out. Ha, ha, ha. That's not true. Another key thing is if I do binge and overdo it, then forget about it right away. Forget the if-I-had-not syndrome. Oh, if I hadn't done that. Oh, if I hadn't done that, I'd be that much closer. You know, you get all this crap in my head. Bobby, sweetheart, forget it, dear. You did it. Now learn about it. What tools do you have to apply at this moment? And just apply the suggestions from the program. Also, a key part is what you start with. This, I think, is essential. Is give ourselves credit for what we do and what's right with us. You know, I can forget during a week that I had really... 6.5 days of really healthy food choices and really on track. And then I had a half hour to an hour of insanity. Suddenly I can blow it all out of perspective and forget it was just a half hour to an hour of improper relationship with food. So celebrate the rest of the week. Really give myself credit and everyone else and be thankful that I really did have that time. It was really important. I think that that's the key there in that piece of that. And also don't try to make up for a binge by not eating the next several meals. I found just continue on my healthy eating plan. As soon as my body says, okay, Bobby, sweetheart, you need some body fuel here, then eat some. I think that's a key to me that was really, really important. Another key that has saved my posterior and frontier portions is that always be prepared. I was a Boy Scout. Great motto. But be prepared. Have a wide variety of foods in the house. And so before I came over here tonight, you know, I had my everything but the kitchen sink salad. I always keep my whole cupboards and everything stocked with healthy food choices all around. I also brought with me, you know, a strength training food bag. At the hospital, I forgot to mention that, you know, what I learned from that experience is I always hoped healthy food would fall out of the sky right into my arms. It never did. So, I'm responsible to feed myself. So don't assume somebody else is going to. So I always take healthy foods with me. The food plan I have includes 3 meals a day and 3 snacks a day. And I always bring healthy foods with me. So, you know, here, perish the thought I'd starve, but you know, I always have enough munchies literally all around all the time. I take my food very seriously. I plan for it, forget it, tune in, and eat from hunger, but not because I'm filling a hole, an emotional hole. And so I think that was really essential, that piece of that. So how do I do this long term? Because that's the part of this that, like, and how do you, this program and use those pieces of it? I think, and I'll pass this around, I really try to focus on my healthy maintenance schedule. What do I need to be a healthy, happy camper? You know, what program tools work? So for me, all kinds of healthy foods, eating regularly, eating mindfully, slowly, take whatever time it takes to prepare, shop, and plan for healthy meals and snacks, write foods down. I'm not holy hot stuff. Recently, there's been a whole lot of really challenging events come in my life. Work has been going crazy, lots of other stuff. And so I write my foods down again. So I've learned when a tool helps, pull out that tool again from my toolkit and use it when things are really stressed. Now I never compulsively overeat. It's just amazing. It's, you know, my imbalance. When my world is in deep distress or people around, normally it's the people around me, that's been the hardest thing. Is because all of our lives connect in relationships with so many other people. It's normally not my life that's falling apart. It's everyone's life around me that's in chaos or, you know, demanding a lot. And that's always sometimes the hard part, to separate myself. The key thing I do is really try and take every day, step 11, prayer and meditation time. So here's my, I always take a quiet time every day. And I always have a little personal altar in my house, you know, where I just always pray and meditate several times a day, as I did this afternoon and I did this morning. That helps me be able to apply these tools, you know, to think of, well, what tool is appropriate right now? And I pray for wisdom and discernment and the ability and the energy to do that. Through all of this, though, what I'm trying to do is become my own best friend. Just exactly as we were sharing, you know, and practice kindness. And so I write all of these things down, so that's what I focus on most of the time. And it's like in the center of an oval. But I'm aware of problematic areas and problem people, places, and things. So I really use the tools to be aware of what triggers me, what pushes all my buttons, when do I lose it? And I've lost it thousands of times, so I'm a little more aware of that now, you know? Oh, Bob, see Bob, Bob, beep, beep, malfunction imminent, shut down in progress, watch out, watch out. So I realize, uh-oh, kid, better pull back, chill out, and take some time for prayer and meditation, because you're about to go south. So I think for me, that was one of the key things, is focus on what works, but also humbly be aware of problem people, places, and things. And kind of the gray areas, when I'm really healthy emotionally and mentally, then I can balance it better, you know? But when I'm vulnerable and already overwhelmed, it's a place of kindness to myself to say, Bobby, sweetheart, you know, I can hear that you're having a hard time. and you're vulnerable right now, so let's maybe not go over to whatever it's going to be, or realize I can, you know, there's certain events. You know, I think that's been the key. The idea of all of this is to come to know myself. And I really, really, really like, you know, maybe I'll close with this. Some of these really great resources and suggestions, just for today, I'll try to live this one day only and not tackle my whole problem at once. Just for today, I'll be happy. Just for today, I'll adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. Just for today, I'll strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do something on a good turn and not get found out. I will do at least two things I really don't want to do. I will show anyone, not show someone that my feelings are hurt. And just for today, I will be agreeable. I'll look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, and act courteously. And just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I'll have it. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. And just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. And so I think that's what this program is take it a day at a time and really, really trust inside of each of us that we have the potential to be completely healthy, frisky, vital, alive, and radiantly healthy. Following this program a day at a time, and I've been in it for 34 years, it has blown my socks off. I mean, completely the urge to overeat, drink alcohol, take drugs, or all that other stuff has been completely transformed from my whole consciousness, like holy petunias, where did it go? Well, one day at a time, it was transformed so that my deep emotional dis-ease and distress was transformed into well-being. I'm so grateful that I did have the different tools that came to me to allow me to do it differently and the support and encouragement of others. And then that's the key part, is as you practice this, really trust that as you do, that the miracle of recovery, of inner change, will happen. You know, one day at a time. And so it's been a pleasure to share these things with you of all these little bits and pieces. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob.